Due to some technical difficulties during our recording, the audio for this podcast episode is not up to our usual standard. We apologize for the inconvenience.
Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers Journey Through the Wormhole with Quark, Dax, and their good friends Tom and Harry. Join us as we navigate through episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Your hosts today are my fellow Trek actors, Garrett Wong, Robert Duncan McNeil, and of course myself, Terry Farrell.
For the complete and exciting version of this podcast that you will never get anywhere else but on patreon.com/the Delta Flyers, sign up and get all kinds of cool stuff. You're going to love it. Check it out. patreon.com/the Delta Flyers.
Ooh, I like how you said that.
Yeah, I'm working.
I love that ad-lib.
Kind of wanting to join today. That's a really good sell.
Well, he ad-libbed that awesome little extra bit. He goes, "That you will never get anywhere else," is what Robbie did. So that helps.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Feeling a little frisky today.
You really are. Woo. My goodness. What's going on with everybody? What's the latest news in your lives?
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Well, I just got done 5 months of shooting a show up in Vancouver, so I'm back home.
Tara Ferris, what's happening?
Well, I the portal is going up. The Kiva fireplace is all that it's all ready to be. I don't know what they do.
Stuccoed or?
Yeah, stuccoed. It's all ready to be stuccoed, and right now they are doing the lathing.
Oh,
that's when they put the wire up and there's some other.
Oh,
stuff
yeah.
There. Yeah.
Is that what that's called? Lathing?
Yeah,
I love that.
I know. I know. Doesn't it sound cool?
Yes.
It actually looks kind of dangerous because it's that sharp, silvery, wiry metal.
Yeah.
So I have been doing landscaping. I've been moving rocks around in my backyard and doing retaining walls with the rocks. Nana said, "Oh my God, you're going to be in incredible shape." But I don't know about that, but it does burn calories for
sure. It definitely does. Landscaping is so hard. You know, I always go out and I think, oh, I'm just going to do a little thing here. And then 6 hours later, I'm like sweaty and dirty. And, you know, it's easy.
And you see like six other things. You're like, oh, now I got to move those rocks and that thing. And yeah, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
So I did an hour before we started, and I'm still good thing you're not next to me. I just washed my face and put a little makeup on, but
are you still schwitzing right now? Schwitzing?
No, because it's nice and cool right now. But when I go back out, it's going to be 70, so that hot sun will not be so much fun.
It is springtime for you. That's great.
We had snow 3 days ago, though.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we had snow a few days ago when we first got back.
Oh, I was so happy because I had a day off. I was like, yay, it's snowing all day. Yeah.
What about
you, Garrett?
I'll let you guys know. I just got back from Toronto where the Canadian Championship Cheer competition was happening. That's like the national. Yes.
That must have been amazing.
I have never been to any type of cheer competition. And what I'm going to tell you guys is this. It's like going to a Star Trek convention or a Comic-Con, but everyone is cosplaying as a cheerleader. That's what it is. Like, there's just
that's so cute.
Oh my God, 7,000.
I've seen it on TV, but I've never seen it in person.
Yes, 7,000 athletes were at this at this
Niagara
Falls.
Are athletes,
sorry,
no,
I said
doubt.
The wrong thing. Yes, they are. I said Toronto. We flew to Toronto, but then we drove an hour and a half to Niagara Falls. So it was at Falls, which is gorgeous. If you have not been to Niagara Falls, especially the Canadian side,
have they cleaned the town up? Because
there's two sides. There's Niagara Falls, New York, and Niagara Falls, Ontario. And so which side are you asking about? I don't know about
I was working in Toronto when we drove down to Niagara Falls. There were a lot of like haunted things to go in, haunted.
Oh,
Like
wow.
you go in and they scare you and stuff like that. Well, this is years ago when I was doing a TV movie
Oh, yeah.
with Doris Roberts.
Oh. Yes, you're
Love
talking
her.
about that little strip that has a bunch of like haunted
Shops
houses
and
and stops and
they're kind
stores,
of run
arcades.
down,
Yeah. Well,
very
no, they didn't.
kitschy,
I don't know if it's
touristy.
run. I don't think it's run down. I think they did a remake, a remodel, because
They
everything
must
looks
have.
pretty new to me, actually.
Oh,
So,
good.
yeah.
Nice.
So that was fun.
Did you do the mist thing? The
We
did you
went
go
under
down?
beneath the falls. Yes, that was
Yes.
insane. You're
Isn't
talking about
that
the
cool?
Maids of the Mist, the boat
Maids of
ride?
the Mist boat
Yes.
thing.
Yes.
They don't open that until May. So that was not available
Oh.
until, yeah.
But did you get to
So
go through some of the tunnels and see the water coming down?
we did. We went behind the
That's
falls. We did a
cool.
behind the
Yes,
falls
yes.
tour, and it was amazing.
Wow.
The Niagara
It
Falls,
is.
yeah, the park commission or whatever, it's a brand new building. Everything they put down there is brand new. The even the bathrooms. I complimented the employees. I was like, this is the best government bathroom I've ever seen in my life. I mean, literally so clean. I said, this is like a bathroom in the American Airlines lounge at some airport. It's
Wow.
so well done, well
Wow.
appointed, clean. So get there now while it's super clean, everybody. The Niagara Falls, Ontario side. Yes, so Keely had a blast there. Her team was level one. The Perfect Storm Typhoons was the name of the team, and so they came in fifth out of eight teams. So they
Right in the
did
middle,
they
right in the
were right in the middle.
middle,
They didn't come in
ish.
last. That's middle-ish,
And she
exactly.
competed. That's
She
amazing.
competed. We got to see other teams that were at the top level, and it's truly amazing, the acrobatics and everything that's involved
Yeah.
when they're doing these pyramids. It's out of control. I mean, you know that
Wow.
they put in thousands and thousands of hours to master a routine that lasts for 2.5 minutes. That's
Wow.
it.
Yep.
So thousands of hours to do these crazy flips
Wow.
and everything, and truly impressive. And really, it's the only sports performance where, when I watched a couple of the really, really good teams with perfect zero flaws, I felt
Yeah.
emotional. Like I
Yeah.
almost started tearing up over it, and I've never
Yeah.
felt that with any football game or with anything else that I watch,
No.
hockey game. But with gymnastics,
The
maybe it's,
Olympics.
or the Olympics,
The
yes, the
Olymp
Olympics make you
Yeah.
tear up, yes, but it's maybe because they
So
put so much time into it. You know what I'm saying? That's that I felt for
yes.
them as well. So,
Yes, and you really understand because your daughter is involved, so you
yeah,
see what she goes through, so you can
exactly.
just imagine what everybody else.
Yes,
Yeah.
yes,
It
yeah.
gets more and
So
more
very
intense the
cool.
older they get.
All right.
Well, speaking of cheerleading, let's cheer for some birthdays.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Let's
Do you like
do
my
it.
segue?
I
I
love it. That was
do.
super good.
Thank
I'm
you. Thank you.
impressed. All
All
right.
right,
I know you
let's.
guys aren't big on Segways, so this is huge.
It's big. That was an actual segue. All right.
Yeah.
First, we're going to cheer for Nick Russell on April 15th. That's Nick's birthday. Happy birthday, Nick.
Happy birthday, Nick.
Nick Russell, my good friend. Happy birthday. Next up, we have Feroza Mehta on April 15th as well. Happy birthday, Feroza.
Happy birthday, Feroza.
Happy birthday, Feroza.
And the next birthday is Nikki T on April 18th. Happy birthday, Nikki.
Happy birthday, Nikki T.
Happy birthday to Nikki T in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay, and our last birthday this week is for Stephanie Aves. Stephanie, it's your birthday on April 20th, so happy birthday, Stephanie.
Happy birthday, Stephanie.
Happy birthday, Stephanie, and we apologize for butchering your last name if we did. But happy birthday. April 20th was a fabulous day because Stephanie was born.
Great. We also want to welcome our new prophet. Who's our new prophet?
Our new prophet is Chris Garris. So welcome to Chris as our new prophet. Yay.
Yay. Wow. Welcome, Chris.
Welcome, Chris. All right.
Okay, let's jump right into poetry synopsis. Come on, Robbie.
Here we
Let's hear
go.
that beautiful limerick.
All right. Time for a poem for The Die Is Cast. Here we go. Garrick seems to have rejoined the dark side. When he tortured Odo, I was pretty horrified. The Defiant saves the day. Garrick and Odo get away. A new friendship for them both is the upside.
Oh, I
Oh,
love
that's
it.
tight.
There you
Good
go.
I
job.
love it.
I don't
Thank
even
you.
look at the notes. I just hear it fresh by just hearing Robbie say it. I don't want to even
you don't want to read it ahead of time.
I don't want to spoil it for myself because they're usually so good that I'm very
you
excited
read this ahead of time. I didn't read it ahead of time. It's all a
I don't even watch the
me.
Episode ahead of time.
Robbie's just winging it. He's just winging it the whole time. He doesn't even.
We are. That's the joy of podcasting.
All right, here we go with my haiku for The Die Is Cast. Tal Order team up. Invasion force is ambushed. Sneaky changeling spy. There we go.
Nice. I like that
one. Yeah.
Me too.
Okay. Let's go through our guest stars and our co-star. We have.
Okay, then.
Yeah. We have Andrew Robinson as Garrick, of course. We have Leland Orser as Colonel Lovak. And if you recall, Leland has worked on Voyager as well. He's worked on a lot of different sci-fi projects. We have also Kenneth Marshall as Michael Eddington. That's mm-hmm. the Starfleet officer who ends up doing a little sabotage action in this episode. Mm-hmm. And he continues to guest star as that character throughout DS9, for at least for a few more seasons, it seems. He has a master's of drama from University of Michigan, but then he went on to Juilliard, where Robbie was also
Juilliard.
Leon Russom as Vice Admiral Todman. Remember him, Vice Admiral
Todman. I liked
Todman.
Him, yeah. Todman.
Okay, which one was Todman?
He's the guy on the screen. Yeah, he's like, don't take
yes,
that Defiant.
Oh, yes, I like him too.
Don't take
oh,
the Defiant.
Oh, Leon Russom, he's a really good actor. He's done lots of stuff.
He has many, many credits. We also have Paul Dooley as Inabrin Tane. We already spoke about Paul in a prior episode. And let's talk about our final person, which is our only co-star, and that is Wendy Schenker. As Romulan Pilot. Do you remember her?
Mm-hmm.
She was
she's good.
Yeah, she was actually
speaking
very good.
Of pilots, Dax was pretty awesome in this episode, piloting the Defiant. I have to say.
Thank
Dax,
you.
Unbelievable piloting there.
I to have Paris be impressed by Dax, it means a whole lot to me. My soul feels right now.
Unbelievable.
Silly, but I was so excited about being the pilot of the Defiant. Isn't it weird how sometimes character traits you're just so it's like it's never gonna happen for me. I'm not gonna Angels, I would blow up. I'd never be able to deal with the G-force, but oh my goodness. Yes.
Yes.
Thank
you. And especially like in a battle scene like that.
Yeah.
Against the Jem'Hadar, you just nailed it. So
thank you.
Such a good pilot.
Thank you.
We have a director, of this episode, which is none other than David Livingston.
David Livingston.
Ron Moore was the writer, Ronald D. Moore. And
Excellent job.
This is actually a very good job. And this
love
is the very
Ron Moore.
We all love him. This is the very first episode where Ira Stephen Bear is listed as executive producer. So he was
saying, congratulations, Ira.
This is when he moved. This is the transition where I think Ira takes over the reins completely.
And what a great episode to do it.
Oh, yes. Agreed.
Such a blast, this episode.
Yeah,
bam.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. It's trivia time, if you guys don't mind. Talk a little bit about this episode. So this episode, along with Improbable Cause, we already talked about how this is the only two-part series where they're not named the same name, right? Improbable Cause is the first episode, The Die Is Cast is the second. But in England, they aired both of them together as a feature-length TV movie.
Oh, wow.
It's what they did in the UK. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Super awesome. There are many, many references to ancient Roman dictator Julius Caesar in this episode. The title, The Die Is Cast, is taken from words reportedly spoken by Caesar in 49 BC as he led a legion of troops across the Rubicon. Now, this was kind of dicey because that was an illegal act that effectively ignited the great Roman Civil War. So this was within Rome. This was the worst thing to possibly do. And Julius Caesar said, the die is cast, the minute he sent those troops across the Rubicon. Garrick also quotes Shakespeare's Julius Caesar to Tane In that quote, he says,
Oh,
"I'm
yeah.
afraid the fault, dear Taine, is not in our stars, but in ourselves." So that comes from Shakespeare's Julius Caesar.
Doesn't he
Obviously.
say, though, that
Wow.
Bashir told him that once or something in the episode?
Yes,
he
yes. He says
says it's a
yes. He says
Bashir
it's a
quote.
Bashir quote. Yeah.
But it's a Shakespeare quote. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because Garrick and Dr. Bashir had discussed the play in the teaser of Improbable Cause. So in
Oh,
their
that's
intro
right.
episode, they talk about Julius Caesar, Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. This is also the very final episode to show Sisko with clean-shaven face. He gets
Yes.
I
Is
guess
it
he gets
really?
goatee or some
Yes.
his the goatee action that we were so
Yes.
familiar
And
with,
his hair
right?
is shorter, but he's not bald
Right. He's
yet.
not bald yet. Okay. Got it.
But I
That
start
ha
the next episode started and I was like, yay, Avery's gonna look
So
like how he wanted to look to begin with.
I had heard that he kind of did that on his own. Is that right, Terry? Where he was like,
It
I'm just
seems
growing
like
it. I'm
if
just
it's in
cutting
the
it. I'm
middle
just
of the
shaving it.
season, it
I
seems
don't.
like it was on his own. If it was the middle of
It
the
must have
season,
been.
yeah. So this episode was really a chance for the writers to remind the viewers that Garrick wasn't a typical good guy. So according to Ira Stephen Bear, he said, "We wanted to show what he's capable of, even if he doesn't want to do it. Could you torture someone if you had to? Garrick can do it." So this was the episode to show people this guy can mean business, you know? And we do remember that one prior episode that we saw where it was the Cardassian that Nana lets go, the one Leggett, right? And he says, "Let me give you one piece of advice before I leave. That one Cardassian on this station, the tailor, never trust him." So they said that. And that guy says that in that prior episode talking about Garrick. And so
But he has a
this episode
big
reminds
heart
me.
in this episode
He
too.
really
It was like
does.
it
He
was
really
very
does.
complex, the complexities of Odo and Garrick's relationship
Yes.
are profound in this episode.
It's an amazing episode. It's an amazing episode for Garrick and also for Odo, for both actors. There is a unfilmed or deleted scene because it was scripted where Admiral Todman is speaking to the Deep Space Nine crew. Todman mentions that he had bet two cases of Saurian brandy on Bashir winning the Carrington Award, which was in the profit motive episode earlier in the year, and that since Bashir lost, he also lost. And so he makes a comment, "I don't like to lose." So this is a scene that
Oh,
was,
interesting.
deleted.
Yeah, I can
So.
see why it was deleted because it doesn't feel like it, reflects on this story.
Not at
But
all. No.
yeah,
Maybe
it
it was
doesn't
too
enhance
flippant.
it.
Yeah, it doesn't enhance it. It's too flippant in a way. I understand what they were going for, but I feel like they decided to lose it because
Yeah, you can't waste time when your
it
storytelling is
distracts.
42 minutes. It's no,
Yeah.
there's, yeah.
Oh yeah, big time. All right. So we start out in the Ripplemat at the very beginning, and we have both Bashir and O'Brien sitting there. And Bashir, it's great. Bashir's going through all his thoughts about theater. 23rd century theater has been in decline. The current theater has been in decline since the 23rd century. Nothing has been original. They've been obsessed with writing human interpretations of alien theatrical works. And so he's going through this whole thing. And O'Brien is stuffing his face. He's just like, he's eating everything. And, Bashir stops him. He's like, "Did you hear anything that I said?" He's like, "Oh, I heard everything. So what do you think?" "About what? Any of it?" He's like, "Well, I don't know." So basically, Bashir is looking for that same intellectual verbal repartee that he has with Garrick, and he
Yeah,
doesn't get that out of he misses that
he
so
misses this
much.
deep conversations with Garrick. You know, my favorite moment was when Miles just points at Bashir's plate, like, "Eat," and he hasn't touched a thing. He's been talking the whole time. And the other thing that I
I didn't
noticed
catch
in the,
that.
yeah, he points at
I
his
didn't
plate.
either.
I love it.
And then the other thing I thought of watching this is, forks and spoons and things
Yeah.
have been a very enduring invention. Like, it hasn't
Yes.
changed.
For
It
hundreds
still
of
work.
years. Yeah.
It
They
still
still
works.
have spoons. They still have forks. It just hit me in this scene. I'm like, oh, that feels very familiar. Nothing's really changed.
Are straws still being used? Do we see anyone drinking
I
with a
don't remember
straw
using straws.
ever? Okay.
I don't either, except
Mm-mm.
maybe Maybe on like a holodeck program, like if we went to
Oh, like a retro thing in the 50s and a
if we
milkshake,
did
something like
that,
that.
or maybe if we when we went to like the lake, the resort holodeck, you know,
Oh,
where they had like
yes.
pina
Oh,
coladas or
they're talking about
something.
Voyager now, just
Yeah, sorry,
in case
I
you're not
jumped.
following.
Yes. Yeah, you're right. You're right on that. Well, this conversation gets interrupted by Kira. Kira is basically in ops, and she calls
Calls
to
Miles. Come on
O'Brien. Yeah,
down.
it's time to come on up. This is something you gotta take a look at. We end up in ops, and sure enough, guess
And there's
what?
Dax. We see
Yeah. Oh,
Dax.
we do see Dax. Yes.
Finally.
We have super high concentrations of tetrion particles. And
That's not
Dax,
good.
no, because Dax says, I have never seen readings like these. What do you
And they're
think?
moving right
They're
towards the
moving.
station. Why would these
Oh
tetron
my
particles
gosh.
be
I'm nervous right now.
moving?
My stomach, sitter, I have butterflies right now.
Wow. Because of what's going on. Yeah, it's very
Well,
ominous for sure.
suddenly a
Yeah.
Romulan and a Cardassian ship decloak.
And how
And I
cool
have a,
did they look? Didn't
they
they
look
look
so
cool?
cool.
They look so
Hundreds of
cool.
them, a whole fleet. Like,
It was
well,
crazy.
actually, it wasn't hundreds. They said something like,
Not yet.
I forget how
That's at
many.
the end.
Okay.
I
But
was going to
they.
say they had 20 ships, if that's correct. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But several
Cardassian.
say that.
I'm looking. I don't
I'm
see
trying to
any
see if they give a
particles.
number, but they
They do.
definitely
They give a number
later.
later. I know they give a long number later because they talk about
But it.
they have this number of ships and they're manned by seasoned veteran soldiers or something. They say
Yes.
something like that later. So
Wait,
Dax
I have
says
a.
definitely Cardassian, Keldon class, Benjamin. There's an entire fleet decloaking out there. What is a
It's a
fleet?
fleet. A
It's a
fleet is a
lot.
lot. It's a
It's a
lot of
lot,
ships. It was very
especially when you can't
impressive.
move away.
Yes. Very
The station's
impressive.
just sitting there. Yeah.
Wait, I have a question, and Garrett probably will know the answer to this. Are Romulans the only ones that have cloaking technology? Like Cardassians can't cloak, or Starfleet can't cloak?
I thought Klingons could cloak, but
No,
did they
Klingons
buy it from the
click.
Rom? I think they all bought the technology from the Romulans.
From the
Did they not?
Romulans? That might be.
Well, the
That might be.
Defiant can cloak.
The
Right.
Defiant
The
got it from the Defiant got
Romulans
it
for
from the
sure.
Romulans,
Yes.
though.
So then it maybe they're the ones with the what is
The
it called?
cloaking, the cloak,
The
the
patent. They have the
yeah, they
patent
got
for
the trade, the trademark
they
for
have
the
the
cloak.
trademark.
Smart
Romulan cloaking device,
Romulan.
TM, little TM right next to it for trademark.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, Robbie, other alien races such as the Klingons, yes, they have cloaking technology as
They
well,
do,
which
right?
they
Because
probably, maybe they got from stealing it from the Romulans or who knows, right?
Probably.
And then
In
in this
this,
episode, the Cardassian ships also cloak as well.
yeah.
So,
So it
yeah.
was, they kind of were surprised. Like Dax was surprised. They were all surprised that the Cardassians are
Right.
decloaking too.
Right.
They don't even have technology. So I guess
Right.
they're a clear sign they've teamed up with the Romulans who do have. Yeah.
The team up
Which
included
we find
giving
out
them.
through this episode. Yeah.
And they go
So
into the wormhole. That fleet just heads right past the station and goes into the wormhole.
boom.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. We couldn't stop them.
Nope.
No, nothing.
They don't want to
No.
talk to us.
Nope. They
No
did
response
not.
to our hails.
Yeah.
Well, we go inside the Warbird's ready room. Garak and Tane are there reminiscing. Garak and Tane. We learned that Garak was a very good interrogator. He used his eyes. I think Tane says something about you just sat there. What does he say? For 3 hours or
interrogation
four?
was not an
Just
interrogation. He stared at
staring.
him
He
for
just
four
stared at him.
hours, and then
Yes. At
that's
some
when
poor
he,
soul.
yeah,
And he
he gave
broke.
up
He
the
could not
goods.
look into Andy Robinson's eyes for more than 4 hours.
No, he told Tane, his eyes. Kept
Exactly.
saying his
His
eyes.
eyes, they're so
That's how
dreamy,
scary he
those eyes.
was.
Yes.
No, like
Tane also
Dracula.
tells him in this scene, he says, you know, if we're successful in this mission, Garak can eliminate anybody he wants. And Garak does mention Gul Dukat.
Yeah,
So,
he
yeah,
does.
that
That
was
was
interesting.
titillating.
That was titillating. Feels like that's going to come up later on in another episode. Tane says he might eliminate Mila, his housekeeper, who's kind of
Yeah.
his loyal aide. And Garak, you know, is not really happy with that. So we see this good side. We see the dangerous side of his eyes that he can interrogate people, but we also see that Garak is standing up for the housekeeper and for this eliminating her because he says she's been super loyal.
Yeah, so he has a heart. That's what
He's
we
still
learn
got a
here. He
heart.
still has a heart. End of story.
Yep.
This is when the Tal Shiar officer enters, and this is Leland Orser playing Colonel. I always want to say Tuvok, but it's not. It's Luvok. Lovok is what it is. It's close to Tuvok, but Lovok.
Yes.
Colonel Lovok shows up.
Lovak shows up. He tells Garak, you cannot go anywhere. You can't go on the bridge. You can't go anywhere or you will be killed. He's pretty direct about
Yes,
that.
yeah.
But
He says it's so Vulcan, like it's so damn
yes, he
funny. He's
does.
like, if you do so, you will be killed. It's like so, but then again, Romulans
Robotic.
are, yes, they're cousins of the Vulcans, so that makes sense that they talk similar as well. Yeah.
And the scene ends basically with Tane telling Garak that he should go talk to Odo and encourage Odo to just give up any information he's got on the Founders. It'd be in his best interest, everyone's best interest. So off we go to Odo's quarters, which, by the way, we go into the quarters where they're holding Odo. Is that the Defiance quarters redressed? It looked just like it to me.
Probably.
It looked
It would have
just
had to
with.
be on that set because it didn't, not on our two main stages. What do we have? 4, 16, and 18, or 17 and 18? And 18 was Planet Hell and the Defiant and a swing set.
Well, this
Right.
looked like the Defiant quarters redressed to me. It
Redressed.
had the bunk beds, maybe a little bigger than the
Yeah.
Defiance. They probably took a wall out and made it a little
Definitely.
bigger, but it felt like the Defiant quarters to me.
Yeah.
But Garak comes in, tells Odo that the Founders are their common enemy, basically, and that he should help. Garak says, you should help us, tell us anything you know. And Odo is very angry and very, very combative, I guess you'd say. And Odo says, no,
Well,
I
yeah,
only.
he's pissed
He's
off.
pissed off. Because Garak's joined the dark side again. He's
Yeah.
gone back to working with Tane. So Odo says, our only common enemy is Tane. You just don't know it yet. So that's kind of how they end this scene. Odo's not going to give him
Well,
any information.
and also Garak asks him if he likes his quarters, and
What he
he's in
looks
a
like.
prison cell, really, even though it looks like a room. Yeah. He is not just in his quarters. He
He's not in
is,
like luxury quarters. He's in
there's a force field
a
around the
holding
bulkheads.
luxury prison cell, really.
Well, it's regular quarters. It's just they put the force field around the bulkhead so that you
Force
can't get
field.
out.
That's the word I couldn't think of.
Okay. Force
Yes.
field.
Thank
Well,
you.
if they have a force field, could Odo, because he's a changeling, get through a force field?
No. How?
No.
Can't do
It
it.
doesn't matter
Okay.
what he changes into. He can't go through the force field. It'll
Nothing.
stop him.
No.
Nothing.
Okay.
Liquid, gas, air,
Matter. Yeah.
matter, whatever it is,
He
he
is
can't get
matter.
through. It's not going to happen.
True. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We go to the wardroom next, back to DS9. Admiral Todman is there briefing the crew and Eddington. And Eddington, I found it threw me a little bit that Eddington was sitting in the wardroom with everybody else because we've seen him before, but once or twice, I think.
Yeah, but
And
Odo's gone, so he's got to stand in for Odo.
he's got to stand in, And I did read something about Eddington was created so that they had another Starfleet officer when Colm Meaney was off doing a movie. That was
Yes.
the original idea of Eddington. We'll bring on somebody who can kind of help us fill out, scenes as a Starfleet person.
Because we don't have enough actors that are regulars
Yes, exactly. But I guess it was Starfleet they
or
were looking
reoccurring.
for.
Yes.
But didn't they cast him to replace the other Starfleet guy that was in DS9 to begin with? The sort of like, hey, I'm the sheriff in town guy. Remember him? That guy.
cowboy guy.
Yeah, cowboy guy, Starfleet guy was here for a bit, and then Eddington replaced him.
But I
But
don't remember Cowboy Guy.
Oh yeah, he
yeah,
was.
cow. Yeah, he
Did it
was.
not fit really? Not a good fit?
No,
Yeah,
he
he was.
didn't. I thought he
Well,
was
Odo, he was.
fine.
Odo was no, he was a fine actor. He just sounded like a cowboy, which always threw me.
That's
But
so.
when I saw Eddington in the scene, it threw me a bit because he's
Yeah.
there with all the series regulars.
Right.
But I did a
Right.
little Google search and found out that he did quite a few more episodes after this. He probably did, I don't know, 8 or 10 more episodes, something like that.
Right. But
And I,
from,
yeah. And
Yeah, he was
I
great.
saw a quote from Ira saying that they wanted to bring him in because of Colomini's movie schedule. They wanted to have somebody to kind of fill out the Starfleet ranks a little bit. So that made sense. In the wardroom, they're there. Todman's talking. Sisko decides after Todman says, we know what they're doing, but we're not going to get involved. You know, if they win, it's a win-win for us because we're not involved in this if it doesn't work. And if it does work, we're on the winning side. You know, the Dominion loses. So he just wants to stay out of it. And then Sisko says, there's going to be a bunch of Starfleet ships here tomorrow. Let's take the Defiant to the Gamma Quadrant and try to get involved and fix this and save our people.
But Taubman says no to that because he says that to when Taubman's on screen. He says, no. Your
Don't
top
do it.
priority is defending Bajor, not going after your lost officer. So
Exactly. So when he hangs up, what does Sisko do? I'm going to go take the
I'm going to go after
Defiant.
the yeah.
I'm going to do it anyway.
He's got a plan.
I love
I
it.
like this too. I like very much that Sisko talks about, this is going to be a dangerous mission. You might not come home from it. You're going to have to volunteer for it, but don't tell me right now.
Think about it. And if
Think
you want to
about
join
it.
me, meet me on the Defiant in 2 hours.
Well,
Well,
I
he
love that.
says that he does
I
say
really like that speech.
you may not be coming home. So this is these are high stakes involved right now.
Very high stakes.
Well, you saw that fleet of that's scary.
Yes, it was.
And we also learn in this scene, I forgot to mention at the top, he talks about the Jem'Hadar are genetically addicted to a drug that only the founders can provide, which I'd never heard
White.
that before.
It's called
What?
white. Yeah.
This is news to
Robbie,
us.
this is
No,
news for you. And
it's
you know what
not
it's
news for
called?
us. We learned it already in the prior
That they were
episode.
addicted to
Yes,
this
yes,
drug?
yes. It's called white ketracel or whatever it is. Is that right, Terry? Yeah. It's already
Well,
been
I just
talked
remember it being
about.
called white. And it's like a tube that they have. It's like feeding them all the time.
Oh my
We
God. Do
talked
I
about it.
remember
It's
this?
pretty
Robbie,
crazy.
the episode is
You
when
know I
we.
don't remember
Okay, but no,
anything.
listen to me. I'm gonna remind you. I'm gonna jog your memory very
Yes, jog
easily.
my memory. Go.
We find an infant who then slowly
Oh.
develops into a
Oh,
Jem'Hadar. That
you're right.
he
That
was
was the
going
drug.
crazy until the doctor Bashir was able to replicate something similar to the drug to keep this kid from going bonkers. So yeah, we know
Well,
about it. You
look, they
just
tried to
forgot.
remind me in the episode.
We
You've tried to
know. We
remind me.
know. We
Finally, I
know. We
remember.
know. Oh, God.
I did like, so we go to the Defiant next. I did like
Yes.
this opening shot that starts with Dax coming in the door and almost pans 360, following everybody as they move along
It's a
through
nice
the
shot.
Defiant Bridge, and we reveal everybody has decided to volunteer, which
Yeah.
Of course, we're
even
Starfleet.
Eddington, even
Even
Eddington,
well, yes.
he's going to be trouble.
I'm not pleased about
Well,
that.
no, we're not, Eddington.
I did like the bit that they wrote into the scene where Kira says, Admiral Todman's calling, incoming message. And Sisko's like, well, that's what you think it says, but how can you be sure? It's so badly garbled and distorted. I don't know if that's true. And Kira gets it. She goes, you're right.
Yeah, that's
So,
cute.
yeah,
That
a
was
funny
really
bit.
cute. So an awful lot of subspace interference. Must
Well,
be
they
an
should.
ion storm or something.
It did feel like Eddington was showing his hand a bit in the shot because he was up in the foreground of the shot and you kind of saw his face like very suspicious looking.
Oh,
So,
really? I didn't catch
I
that. I didn't
noticed
track
it.
that.
I definitely tracked it the obviously the second time I watched it. When I watched it this morning, it was like, oh, it's standing out over and over and over. Like they give us a little bit in the war room too. There's just a weird, like he's has the secret relationship with the
With
admiral.
Todman.
Back to what Robbie was saying about the whole how funny it was where Sisko's telling Nana, like, you didn't hear that. And then you were talking about subspace interference just now, Terry. I feel like that next time I'm on a call where I've got a telemarketer talking to me, I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm getting so much subspace interference. I can't hear you. And I'll just hang up right there.
It
I'll
must be
use
an
it.
ion
It must be an
storm.
ion storm. And then I'll hang up. And the telemarketer, if they happen to be a Star Trek fan, like, they just use Star Trek terminology to hang up on me.
Oh,
So
that's sweet. I
it's
like that
real.
Yeah,
Do
it's
it.
real.
It's real.
Star Trek is real.
It's real. I knew it. I knew it.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Where are we?
We go back to the Warbird now. We're on the bridge of the Warbird, and we find out that their plan is to destroy the whole Founder's planet with bombardments.
Yeah.
They're going to take it out until they kill every Founder that lives on this planet.
To and stop all the there, Dominion right? and all the Jem'Hadar, because the Founders create the white, right. and that's where the Dominion gets their white.
Yep.
So if they kill the Founders, then
the Jem'Hadar will die.
Yeah.
So that's their plan. They're going to do it.
Woo!
And then they do say, unless the Founders have defensives that we aren't aware of, which is one of those writerly things. I go, oh, of course they're going to have defenses. Because you just said it.
Right, exactly.
But Tane says Garak should go interrogate Odo. And Odo insists that, you know, he put everything he knew in his report. I believe him. He's very thorough. He wouldn't have lied about that. So there's nothing. He doesn't have anything. And right. Tane says, well, we have an experimental device that can neutralize changelings. And so.
But it's a prototype.
Yeah, it's a proto.
They've never tested it before, right?
Until now, yes.
You're right. But Garak says he'll do it. He changes his mind. He doesn't want anybody else going in there. And
they wanted to have, who are their scary people?
They're Lovok.
No. I mean, what are they called? Basically, their SS officers, the Cardassians. They have other.
So Obsidian Order is the Cardassian version, and Tal Shiar is the
Tal Shiar,
right? So the Romulan.
They were saying that we'll send the whatever that person.
Yeah, the Tal Shiar, and that person is Luvok. So that's Colonel. He's the head Tal Shiar agent. But we now know, after watching the entire episode, that that was not actually a Romulan, but a
shapeshifter. Spoiler.
But here's the thing, though. That's what gets Garak to go.
Yes,
I am. Odo's my prisoner.
Real bad guy.
Exactly.
Because he has a heart and he doesn't want anyone else handling him. But my point is, if you sent Lovok would have done nothing to harm Odo because he is a changeling. So it would have been fine either way. We don't know that exactly. Okay.
We go back to the Defiant Bridge next, I think. And there's a mystery power problem that decloaks them. The lights start flashing. They can't locate the source of the problem. They decloak.
I can't locate it.
No, Dax can't find it. And there's no ships. Dax can't find any ships in the area. But if the Jem'Hadar show up while they're decloaked, they are in big trouble. So
Eddington actually fesses up really fast. He's like, "Yeah, there's a problem, you know, with this." And guess what? It's been sabotaged. And then he goes, "Well, how do you know that?" Because I did it. It's just very quick. And for someone who caused such harm and potential harm to the people inside the vessel, I fully expected there would be a beatdown of Eddington, and nothing happened to Eddington. Eddington actually continues to be on the bridge.
Because he did it because the Admiral.
Yes.
It's a direct order from Starfleet. So to me, it didn't feel, you know, creepy or scary because he's just trying to do his job. He doesn't want to get fired.
True. Well, he says, you know, if the Jem'Hadar show up, you're going to need me. And he says, I give you my word, Commander, that you can trust me. And Sisko responds, well, I have a policy to trust the word of anyone that wears a Starfleet uniform. Mm-hmm. And I wrote down, risky policy, Sisko.
Don't make me change my policy. But he also understands that he had the direct order. So it's he knows that Eddington's in a sticky situation here.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's probably why he lets him off the hook.
What else could he have broken, though? The cloak is probably the least of it. It's better that he didn't, you know, sabotage the weapons.
Yeah.
Well, it does seem quick that Sisko puts him right back in the chair. It seems like he would have asked some of those questions. Like, did you sabotage anything else? Is there anything else I need to know?
Well, he says that. Eddington fesses up. He goes, I didn't damage any of the ship's weapon systems or the engines. Okay. Yeah, he says that, right?
Yeah.
So he does. So. Yeah.
It just
which actually
quick,
made me feel better about him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
also,
we go back to
Remember, Captain Sisko, or sorry, Commander Sisko knows what the ramifications would be for Eddington if he didn't follow. It'd be worse for him, Eddington, if he didn't follow the direct order from Starfleet.
It's a sticky situation.
It is sticky.
Okay, we go back to the Warbird. We're in Odo's quarters again. Garak comes in with two Romulans. He's got a bucket and he's got a bunch of like Lego parts of some device parts.
I
I
loved
honestly,
watching him put this together. It was
like
so
to
cool, wasn't it?
it was cool, but it was also my feeling that, okay, props did not have enough time to come up with a really cool device, so they just added all these other separate pieces together at the
It's just
last.
something they
I
already
didn't
had.
think that.
Oh, that's good that
Really?
you didn't think
I liked it. Oh my
that.
gosh. No, I thought it was cool.
You thought it was
Okay.
cool? I thought
Yeah,
it
I
was cool. I
did.
thought it was cool, but I was like, why do they need to put this together? Like,
It
seems
should
like they
already
would
be
have built it.
assembled. Exactly. Well, again,
Seemed
last
like it
second,
to me.
Robbie, they were like,
Well,
let's
and
add.
also it's a prototype.
That's true.
Okay. It,
Prototypes
yes.
are
You
the
win. You win
beginnings,
on that.
right?
Can I just, here's my theory. The
Yes.
first part that was put
No, no more
down,
theory.
the first part that was put down, David Livingston
Yes.
said, that's it. That's
Yes.
it to props. And props says, oh, we can add some more things on the side. And then that's what ended up happening. That's
Oh my word.
my
That's your
detective thought.
story.
It
That's a
is. I believe
story.
it. That stuff would have been put
Well,
together entirely. They wouldn't have to put it together
it also
beforehand. That
builds
was
up the
weird.
dramatic tension, I think, like
It
by having to
does.
assemble it. So
Lego style? Okay,
I'll
fine.
go
I
Lego on
liked it.
this.
All right.
I'll go Lego on this.
I will defer to Terry and I will say
Lego
that I
my
like it.
ego.
I'll Lego your ego. Yes. Okay.
Well,
Least it lit up and stuff. It
yes,
lit up
it
all over
did.
the place.
It did.
Garak tells the guards to leave. Then he goes and turns on the device. Odo's very confident still at this point.
Oh, yeah.
He
He but he turns on the device and tells him that you won't be able to change into anything. You'll be stuck. You won't be able to regenerate. And I did like how Renee was sort of trying to stretch his arm or something. He's like, you couldn't do
Yes.
anything. Very 3D feeling, you know. I'm sure
Yes.
David Livingston put like
That
the
you're
super
doing right
wide
now.
lens. Yes, 3D. Wow. I
But
like that.
yeah. He played it well because you could
He
believe that
did.
he
Oh.
was actually shocked that he couldn't do it. He's like, oh my gosh, you know?
This interaction, this entire interaction between the two of them is genius.
So well
It's
written.
genius. So well written, so well acted, so well directed. It was just genius, this whole thing.
Well, Garak says he wants to know his secrets. And Garak does say, you know, we don't know what's going to happen if you can't regenerate. What will happen to a changeling if you can't get in the bucket? And Garak says, I'll just wait for you to reveal your secrets.
Yeah, that last line, Odo says, there's nothing to tell. Garak says, well, perhaps something will come to you. I can wait. The question is, can you? That was the ending of that, which is, again, the writing, it's so good on this
And
episode.
even though you knew he was gonna say, can you? I mean, I said it out loud too when I was watching. It was still, it was exactly what you would say. Exactly. Oh my
And
goodness.
Garak did not tell him, you know, about his eyes, the power of his eyes. Thank you, Garak.
Well, he
Thank
was a
you.
master interrogator.
Yes, he didn't want
At
to,
that
because.
sometimes Tane had to pull him off and calm him
Exactly.
down. So
Yes. He could
what
have
is
sat there
that?
for 4 hours just
What is
staring
that
at him.
song from the 70s? Those eyes. Isn't there a song like those eyes?
Those
Do-do-do.
eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do-do-do. Those
Those
eyes.
eyes
Was
and
it?
da-da-da-ding, but we're never gonna sing a lot of love that I have for you. No, that's not it.
Oh,
That's not
these
it.
eyes.
Is that it? Yeah, these
Maybe it
eyes.
is. Da da da
Did
da for you. These eyes, these arms long
it
to
these eyes
hold. I
for
forgot all
you.
about that song.
I love a little musical break. It's
A little
nice. I
musical
do
too.
interlude. We go back
Okay.
to the Defiant Bridge. Kira gets up, starts to head for the door. I love this whole scene. It's a short little
Oh.
scene, but she's there, you know, Sisko's pacing behind her. She's kind of waiting. You can tell she's itching to get news on
She is antsy pants.
did O'Brien fix this? You know, she's nervous. She gets up to check on Miles. Sisko says, you know, he said he, you know, it's been 3 hours. But if he needed help, he would ask for it now. The best thing we can do is just stay out of his way. She sits back down, he exits. It was a nice oner, the way that David shot it. I liked it a lot. You know, oners to me, the best thing they're useful for is that you don't get the release of the tension of whatever the moment is in the scene. And David's great at these oneers where this is all about waiting and waiting and waiting. And so there's no cuts. There's not a cutaway that sort of releases the tension of that waiting tone. It was great.
Wow, that's a
Very well
really
done.
good point. Yeah, because we still are in, we're reminded that he's O'Brien's still working on it, and
The
Sisko gave
clock
him
is
2 hours.
ticking.
Now it's been 3 hours. Yeah. Yeah, that was
Nice,
excellent.
nice little scene.
All right, now we're in Odo's quarters now, right? So we're back in Odo's quarters slash prison, and we get a look at Odo, who is looking like he's literally, as the seconds are ticking by, he's slowly just drying up. Like bits of
He's
him are
drying
just
up and
flaking off.
flaking. Yes.
Like
He
a
looks
lizard or a
bad.
snake losing its
What did it
skin.
remind you? That makeup
Oh.
reminded me of something so specifically.
It's in my reaction video, but I will say it now, I guess. You can say
I'll
it. Go,
say
you say
it
yours.
reminded me of the A Christmas Carol. It reminded me of
Why?
the ghost of Christmas Past. It looked like one of those
Oh.
ghosts from A Christmas Carol to me.
Wow. No,
I did
I
not
just thought it
catch
was so
that.
genius.
Well, to
Great
me,
makeup.
and earlier too, that he Odo must have had a different forehead. I'm sorry, in the scene before this with the two of them, he had like wrinkles in his eyebrows, and I noticed it right away, and that had to be a different piece
Oh, interesting. Maybe
because
he was already
Odo is
starting to dry
smooth.
up. He
No,
was.
it was when no, it was I think it was when it was first happening.
Yeah, the
He had
beginning
just
of the
had the
drying up.
ridges.
The beginning of the drying. Yes.
And
Here.
then he turned around in the scene and his forehead was normal again. So I
Oh,
just,
interesting.
God love him. Imagine what Renee went through in this episode with his makeup. And you know how much joy that brought him.
Yes.
So that must have
He
just
loved
been,
makeup.
oh, that must have been torture for him.
Great makeup. Odo is
Yeah.
dying. Clearly, he's
Oh.
drying up and dying. Garrick feels horrible. You can tell. Garrick is
Yeah.
tortured.
Sorry. Begs Odo. Please tell me something, anything right now. And you don't need, it can be a lie. Just tell me something.
Exactly.
Doesn't he even say that?
He does. And that's where you see his heart. Okay. That's where you know he cares about Odo because he says, just please make it up. Lie. It doesn't matter to me. I just need anything from you right now because he's just trying to do his job because the Nobbrin Tain is on his back about this. Right. So,
Odo does finally admit at the end of the scene one thing he's never told anybody, and that's that he wants to go home. He wants to be part of the Great Link.
He wants to connect.
And he says, I've tried to deny it, but I can't deny it any longer. So that was interesting, interesting revelation.
And I was so happy that that was when Garrick was like, that, okay, that's my
Great, I got
information.
something.
Yeah, I'm putting you right in the bucket.
All Shuts off the device, and you see Odo go in the bucket. You see the pieces that flaked off on the
Yes,
floor.
wasn't that a great
Those
detail?
little,
And then with Garrick with his head in his hands after that, it was just, you could imagine how much he was just almost disgusted with himself and
He was
so,
torn apart by that. He was
broken
so
up about
broken over
hurting
that.
Odo so much. Yeah.
Because let's face it, that's his friend. It is He is friends with Odo,
Yeah.
as much as you may say that they're antagonistic towards each other, they're definitely friends. I feel that way.
Intellectually, they're on the same level. They're both very intelligent. So, like Quark and Odo have this banter, but Odo are but Quark like does bad shit. And we don't see Garrick doing bad shit. We just, he is somebody that Odo's suspicious of, which makes sense.
Doesn't Odo at one point earlier say to, or no, not Odo, Garrick says to Odo, he says, stop reading all those detective novels that
Yes,
Miles
he does.
O'Brien is giving you. Didn't he say that?
Yes.
That
And
was
that was
a
in the
little
first,
detail.
when they were back for the first time in Odo's
Yeah,
cell.
I like that little detail that Odo loves detective novels.
Yeah.
To further what Terry said about how similar these characters are and how intellectual they are. What an amazing chess game that would be between Garrick and Odo playing chess, because that's what they do in life. They play the game of life as if it was a chess game, right?
And
They
they're doing it
know,
right now.
and they know 6 moves ahead. They know everything. They both analyze everything. Let me read a bit of trivia for both of you. David Livingston, Dennis McCarthy, and writer Ronald D. Moore were all extremely proud of the scene where Garrick tortures Odo. Said Livingston, "I think the scene is the best in the episode. It's very intense, very dramatic, and very powerful." Livingston even went as far as saying, "It is one of the best scenes that I have been involved in. I put it on my director's reel." So, if you put it on your
It's
director's reel, you're proud of it, you
I have
know?
goosebumps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that could
Wow.
have been a film.
For sure.
Very high quality. Very high quality.
We go back to the bridge of the Defiant. O'Brien walks into the bridge. He has fixed the cloaking technology, and he takes a circuit board and tosses it over to Eddington, which I like.
I love that.
Like, here's a what does he say? A souvenir of your handiwork.
Yeah.
And
Very
then they
funny.
cloak, and the lights go down dark in the bridge, and they head off to the Founders at maximum warp this time. So they're, and remember when the fleet was heading to the Founders planet, they said warp six or something. And didn't Garrick
That's
say that's slow, or somebody said that's really slow?
coming
That's,
up. I think that's coming up.
oh, I thought they already said it.
No, they did. They already said it. They
They
did.
did?
That, yeah, because that's
Oh,
a scene
the
when he
cloaking
pops his,
device slows.
when we first
Okay.
meet Leland Orser as the Tal Shiar
Yeah.
officer, he says,
Okay.
"Everything's ready. We're heading warp six." And Garrick is the one that says,
Garrick
"Warp
says that.
six? Isn't that a little slow?" He's like, "That's because we don't want the Jem'Hadar to notice us
Pick
if
up
we're traveling
our
faster."
signal. Yes. Yeah. So they said warp six. And then when the Defiant first left, they were at warp eight. So they were going to catch him. They were kind of catching, but then they got stalled because of Eddington.
Yeah.
Now are we
Now
at
they're going
10?
maximum warp.
Right. So that's,
Maximum's 10.
you know what I'm talking about, because you're a pilot too, Terry. Your
I know
DAX is a
exactly.
pilot.
And I was very excited to see the Top Gun Part 2. I forgot what it's called, but when he was when
Maverick or something, or
yes, when he
is it
was
Maverick?
trying to get to warp 10 and he went up to warp 3, I was just like
Oh, you're talking about when they're, oh, it wasn't warp though. It was
Mach,
Mach. Yeah, Mach.
Mach. Okay.
And just,
I
I'm
love
sorry,
that.
I
I
don't
didn't
want
want to
to,
correct you. I just
I don't
love
want to,
that you
I
said
don't want to
warp.
correct Terry
Oh my
either.
goodness. But I'm glad you did because, but I really had warp stuck in my head.
Yeah, of
Okay.
course.
But I need to,
That plane would have burned up at warp.
yes. And I need to educate you regarding warp. Warp 10
Thank you.
is the maximum, but it's not the maximum you can go. You can only go warp 9.99999. You can't go warp 10. Because if you go
Why?
warp 10, you are everywhere at the same moment. And that's what Tom Paris did in
Oh,
Voyager. He went warp
yes,
10
we've had
and
this
he.
conversation before,
You
but I
saw that. You
forgot.
saw that episode too.
Oh,
So,
that's the
right?
episode.
Yes, that's the
Okay.
episode. Yes.
Oh, Lizard Man.
Lizard Man. Yes. Yeah. Babies with the Captain. Yep.
There you
All that.
go. There you go.
Back to Deep Space
Back to
Nine.
DS9.
We're in the ready room of the Warbird. Garrick informs Tane that he didn't get anything useful. And then Tane says, basically, terminate him. Okay, if he's not useful, terminate him. And Garrick, again, you see his heart here. He's like, well, wait a second. You know, he may be useful in the future. And Lovok, the Romulan, agrees with Garrick. And he says, yes, I want to bring him back to Romulus to study him. And then Lovok gets a call, and we find out that they are nearing the Founder's planet. And they step out into the hallway, and Lovok stops Garrick and asks, why are you protecting Odo? And he thinks that he's got some kind of personal relationship with him. And he calls Garrick a practiced liar in this scene, which is kind of true.
True.
Yes. And Lovok says, I'm going to observe you very closely. So now Garrick is, you know, Lovok is suspicious of Garrick. Garrick's just got a lot on his hands right now. He's trying to keep Tane happy, not kill his buddy. Lovok's after him.
Lot of
Garrick's in a,
plates in the air.
he really has got a mess in his hands. But we go to the Warbird Bridge. They're at the Founder's Planet. We see it. It's beautiful. They decide to fire the first volley of this barrage. And they do, sorry, to go back, before they fire the volley, they scan for life signs. They show multiple life forms on the planet. It appears to be in a liquid state. They open fire. They destroy 30% of the planet's crust. But something strange, no, the life signs haven't changed. It's the same amount, 150 life signs. And that's when they realize, Garak realizes, he goes, it was a false signal. It was a trap. They were sending us life
Automated
signs.
transponder to send the false sensor readings.
As soon
I'm
as they
paying
realize,
attention.
you really are automated.
Yeah.
But they suddenly pick up Jem'Hadar ships approaching 150. That's what it was, not the life
That's where
signs.
you got it.
What?
That's too many.
Yeah.
150.
150
That's
Jem'Hadar.
Jem'Hadar. That's not the Cardassian
Yes.
and the other
Yes.
guys. That's
No.
that I got that mixed
That's
up. I thought,
scary.
yes.
They're scary. Have you guys seen
150
them
Jem.
yet?
Yes,
Yes.
we have.
Yes. They're very
They are
scary.
very scary.
They're hardcore.
It was a trap. They were waiting. The Jem'Hadar appear. This is what starts a big battle. And I said, it looks like this fleet is effed. I don't. Yeah, they're in trouble. 150
I see the real
Jem'Hadar
word
ships.
there. What is it, Robbie?
Yes.
This fleet is effed? What does that
They're
mean?
messed up. They're.
They're
Oh, we're trying to
Thank you,
put.
Terry. Thank you,
All right,
Terry.
Terry. Go ahead and
I
say
mean,
it.
the Jem'Hadar are destroying the fleet ships left and right. They're blowing up ships everywhere. They're flying through the middle of them. Tane
stop.
is
Sorry.
panicking. Yes.
Sorry. Actually, before you continue, I found the number. Here it is. It
In
is
the fleet.
20. I was right. It was 20. I said 20
20.
before.
Oh, so back in the
20.
beginning when there was a fleet, there were 20.
And
That's
we
a good
thought that
thing
was a
to
lot.
know. That
That
is a
looked like a
lot.
lot.
It
But the Jem'Hadar
did.
have 150. Like, they
Now we're
don't
in a
stand a
Star Wars
chance.
movie. This
No.
is like a Star Wars movie. It's
It
so
did feel like a little
exciting,
Star
isn't it?
Warsy.
It
It was
they did
very
such a
exciting.
great job with the
The
with all of the
effects, the
warbirds.
ships.
Yes, the
Yeah.
ships, the battle. It was such a great episode.
Well, Tane wants to retreat. He's panicking. Lovok says there's no way out. They're going to have to take a stand right here and fight. And this is where Garak quotes Bashir. He says, "The fault is in ourselves." So,
Yes.
yes.
Can I ask you a director's question? When they
Yes,
have these
please.
kinds of fights, do
Yes.
you direct the fight as well?
The space part of it?
Yeah.
You do sort of. You storyboard what you, because you have to have a budget for how many shots, your space shots you're going to have. So you'll usually storyboard those sequences and make sure everybody's on the same page. And if, as a director, you want to see a specific thing happen, you talk about that ahead of time so they can budget for it. And
Right.
then
Like an explosion or,
how many ships explode, or do you want the bad guys coming right at the camera? Things like that. So the
And are
director
you
will
physically
talk through
there
that.
when they have those models?
No.
No.
I
So
guess you
do you
could
see it
be.
for the first time once it's cut together?
Yes, usually on Star Trek, yeah, you would see it
Yeah.
for the first time.
And before it airs, do you get to see your episode at a finished before it's okayed or
That's an interesting question, because historically, well, it's an interesting question because the DGA contract for TV directors says that they are supposed to be, every part of the process is supposed to be made available to them. So the parts of the process that directors could be involved in are editing, and then picking music, spotting the music, spotting the visual effects, approving the visual effects, all those steps, ADR work, if they have to re-record an actor, the director
Yeah.
could be there and directing the actor re-recording. Historically, though, in TV, directors kind of walk away usually after their director's cut, and the producers
Okay.
take over. So the producers are the ones that go through and spot all the sound moments and pick the ADR takes and do all of that. So usually that's producers, but directors are able to be a part of all that. I bet David Livingston was much more a part of that
Oh
than the
yeah, because he's a
average
producer
director,
too.
because he was a
Yeah.
producer on the show. Yeah. And
So
just
the
like
guy,
me,
that's cool.
as a producer and director on Resident Alien, I am involved in lots of cuts that the directors have finished and they have not been involved in anymore. So I'm still doing visual effects on that show and looking at all kinds of things, you know, sound, music choices, scoring choices, all that stuff. Yeah.
And how many days for each episode does that happen? I'm sorry, it's turning into an interview on Robbie, but I'm
No,
so curious.
it goes on for months. I mean, you know,
Really?
the director usually has a week or two after they finish shooting to edit and then they're done. But
Okay.
the producers will, you know, on
Tweak.
Resident Alien, yeah, we'll tweak for 3 to 6 months on an episode. And you know, it's
Wow.
a slow process, very slow, but you'll
Right.
look at it over and over and over and over again. Yeah.
But Robbie, isn't it true the person that had the most to do with this battle scene is the visual effects supervisor?
Yes.
That's who's in charge of everything,
Okay.
okay? So let's give
Oh,
kudos
sort of
to
like Dennis Matalone doing he
the
choreographed the
stunts.
fight stunts, right? So
So,
this
yes.
man does
Which
the
is,
okay.
that's right. So this
It
guy,
would be
which is Gary,
Ron.
no, it's Gary Hutzel. So Gary
Gary
Hutzel
Hutzel.
is the visual effects supervisor for this battle scene.
Oh,
And so
okay.
as much as Div Livingston would have said a couple of things to shepherd him along the way, all the
Yes.
details were Hutzel. You know, he's doing everything. So he was
Right.
instructed, let me read this to you. He was instructed to come up with a way to portray the battle of the Omarion Nebula without going over budget. His solution
Oh.
was to create transparencies of the models of the Romulan warbirds and the Cardassian ships, and to use those transparencies in the background, coupled with the fact that they were in the background, Hutzel ensured that the camera never lingered on one of them too long so as to ensure that the viewers did not spot the effect. So this episode features the biggest on-screen
Interesting.
battle in Star
I
Trek
wondered how
history
they
up
were
to this
doing that.
point. Yep. So he was using a little
Because
a
there was
cheat.
a, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, Gary Hutzel commented on the special effects filming that we started shooting motion control on February 21st and we delivered on April 21st. We had 20 days of motion control shooting, a record for a 1 hour show. The
Yeah.
shot where the USS Defiant destroys a Jem'Hadar fighter and then flies through the debris, that's towards the end of the battle scene, that took
Yes.
them 4 days to film that one
Wow.
part of shooting the
Wow.
Jem'Hadar
That's
and flying through
insane.
it. Can you imagine?
It
Four
looked
days.
amazing.
And it was
I'm so
one
impressed.
less, it's like a 1 second of screen time. It was 4 days
Yeah.
worth of work.
Wow.
Gary Hutzel, good
Loved it.
job.
Thank you,
Yeah, very good
Gary.
job. All right. So, in the middle of the battle, after Garak quotes Bashir, who quoted Shakespeare, Lovok says he's going to go to engineering, gives the bridge to Tane. And then there's some big explosions behind Tane as he takes the captain's chair. There's fire, and then there's some firemen come in. Two guys with fire extinguishers come running in. They were just waiting in the hallway with their fire extinguishers.
That was me. I put on some Cardassian
Oh,
makeup
I'm
and
so proud of you.
yeah. Thank God they were there with the fire extinguishers so
Yes.
quickly. And then Garak in the middle of all this chaos, Garak decides to sneak out. So he sort of tiptoes out the back door. And we see in Odo's quarters next, Garak, well, we're outside of Odo's quarters. Some people are running through the hallway, debris and sparks. Garak comes up behind a guard. He does what I call a double-double here. He double fists, hits the back of the guard, and then he double fists the head of the guard. So it's a double-double.
Ow.
I
Yeah.
like your
Ow.
name, but I'm going to give it another name. I'm going to call it
Yes.
the Dennis Madlone Special is what I'm going
Oh,
to call
interesting.
that.
Okay.
I'm going to call it Bam Bam.
Bam Bam? Okay. We got three ways to call it, guys. Double-double,
Yes.
the Dennis Madlone Special, or Bam Bam. So.
Yep. Takes him out. Garak's very good with his double-fisted hits. And then he goes inside, tells Odo that they have to try to get to the runabout. This is when Lovok enters, and Lovok hands him a device. He says, "You're going to need this to get to the runabout." And Lovok admits in the scene that he is a changeling as well.
Yes.
And he says, "No
He's a
changeling has,
founder.
he's a founder, yeah." He says, "No changeling has ever harmed another changeling in the scene. And I wrote down, why can't humans do that?
Yeah.
Why can't
Yes. Can you imagine that? Oh my
if
God.
We just said, let's not harm each other.
Yeah.
Let's just.
It is a human mandate. No human will ever harm another human. That would change the world. That. Oh my God.
Wouldn't it?
Yes.
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 Wow. Yeah.
Interestingly enough, the only person that says the name of the Romulan Tal Shiar agent who's really a changeling is Anobrin Tane. Tane is the first one to introduce him, and he doesn't pronounce it Lovok. He says Colonel Luvok is what he says.
Really?
So, yeah. And so we're reading the script with Lovok, but because Tane pronounced it that way, I guess that's the only pronunciation in the entire episode.
Luvok.
Because no one ever says his name other than that
No.
one time. It's
Oh, well.
Luvok. Yeah. And I hate to correct
And it's a
Ronnie, but
swan song. It's a little
yeah.
sad for
It is a
Tane.
little
I know.
sad. Yeah.
It is.
So.
Luvok also offers Odo a chance to join the Great Link one more time.
Yeah.
You can do it, Odo, if you want. Odo says, nope. My answer is still no. No, thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So they go into the corridor. They go into the corridor because they're trying to head to the runabout.
Yep.
But at the last second, Garrick says, you go ahead. I need to go do something. I need to go to the bridge. I need to go grab Tane. And Odo's like, you got to be kidding me. Are you? He goes like, look, you don't understand. I owe him a debt. I'm trying to repay this. Please wait as long as you can. Now we're back on the bridge. And Tane is not about to even move a muscle. Tane is just there. And he's just trying to figure out what went wrong. And he says
He's lost it.
He's lost. He's like, there must have been an informant. That's the only explanation. And
he's going
Garrick goes,
crazy.
Yes.
In
He's
this
going crazy.
scene.
Yeah. Garrick's
And
like,
David
yes.
Livingston
He's lost
shot,
it.
he shot it. David shot it handheld with a fisheye lens.
Yeah.
And so you've got these kind of crazy lenses and
Yeah.
crazy acting. It was a good blend of
It was
directing and
watching
acting.
his personal demise.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's crumbling inside Tane.
Right. And Garrick tries. Garrick tries. He tries
Yep.
to get him out of it. He tries to snap him out of it. He screams at him. And at the end, when he's saying to him, Anobrin, come on. That's when Odo shows up and literally knocks Garrick out. He punches him
He
so
and then
hard.
Just flips him
He's,
over his
yeah.
shoulder. Did you see that? Just
like,
flips Garrick over his
like
shoulder.
he's a sack of potatoes. It's like, come on, let's
Yes.
go. Yeah.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah. Well, he takes him out to the runabout. We cut onto the runabout. And it starts on his bruise on his head, on Garrick's bruise. This was a tricky shot because they're both sitting at, you know, the front of the Defiant, and there's like a wall
runabout.
pretty close. Or yeah, on the runabout. Sorry. They're not on the Defiant. They're on the runabout. But it starts over there and then pulls across the console and over to a two shot. Tricky. They must have used a jib arm or something. David was always trying to do challenging shots, and that was, you know, not flashy, but a challenging shot to do, I'm sure. So
can
Yeah,
I
look
rewind
cool.
for a second back to the end of the last scene?
Yeah.
So what yeah, so when he knocks him out, you know Tane's losing it because Tane doesn't even acknowledge that
No.
Garrick has been knocked out, right? So he throws him over the shoulder and Tane continues talking to
Yeah.
Garrick.
Yeah.
He says,
Yeah.
these founders, Elam, they're very good. Next time we should be more careful. So he's still in a conversation with
Yes.
Garrick, even though Garrick is gone. And that to me
Well,
was just so haunting to watch that scene. It was like, oh, I felt bad for Elam. I'm sorry.
well,
I felt bad for Anobrin Tane. I really did. It was like,
yeah. Well, also he talks about like, what am I going back to?
Yeah.
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 So
yeah.
it's like he
That
was
whole
ready
thing.
to, you know,
He's done.
yeah.
Yeah,
he's
he was
done. He
knows
finished.
he's done. He's in trouble for something.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
yeah.
yeah.
The safest path is to just, does he want them to
ended
kill him
here.
or is he
Yeah,
just
ended here.
go down with the ship? Yeah.
Yeah.
We learn they're being chased by the Jem'Hadar. They've got a bunch of ships chasing them. They lose their shields. The shields are down, you know, 30% and then 15%, then they're out. Shields are gone. And Garrick, very heartfelt, offering sincere apologies for
Yeah.
what he had to do. And Odo understands. Odo says, I can understand you wanting to go home. And just then the Defiant arrives. Woohoo! Decloaks. And this shots of Dax piloting that I was like, oh my God. Dax should be, she should get a trophy for this.
Thank
She
you.
gets some kind of award because amazing piloting, taking out
Have
Jim
you
Darcy.
piloted anything before this? Is there is does Dax pilot
Yeah.
anything before this
He's
episode?
piloted.
Yes
Yeah.
or no?
Runabouts and other things.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
You have?
Tobin Dax was a pilot. He was a
Oh,
test
so
pilot.
okay. So you
Yeah.
got that in
I
your
have,
genetics. Yeah.
yes.
Okay.
Dax is good. She's
Well,
take it from me.
Dax is giving Tom Paris a run for his money in this episode.
Totally. I
Oh
don't
my.
totally
We're
was. I don't know
twinning.
if
We're twinning.
I guess we're twinning or Dax is winning. I don't know, because Dax was great in this. We go back on the bridge of the Defiant. Sisko is beamed to Odo and Garak aboard. They talk about it on the bridge. They drop shields, they beam them aboard. Then they raise the shields back up because more Jem'Hadar ships are closing in. We cut to the transporter room on the Defiant. Bashir is there. Great. Garak is very grateful that Odo saved his life, because he says, Bashir says, "Wow, that looks painful." And Garak says, "Yes, it is, but it did save my life." And he gives Odo a look. So, they're working it out, the torture, resentment, and all. Yeah.
I think
Back in
there's a
the.
deep respect for each other. That's,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yes, agreed.
Did, look at your
Back.
notes, Robbie. I love
What is it?
that. He,
What is
Dax is a better pilot than me.
I say, I'm telling
Notes.
you.
What?
Yeah,
Oh
look who
my
wrote
God.
that.
I like Dax is a
Wow.
badass pilot.
Yeah, but
Well, they
look below
fight.
that. It says Dax is a better pilot than me, is what he
Oh.
wrote.
I did. I wrote it down.
He wrote it
They're
down.
fighting the Jem'Hadar on the bridge. Basically, they win.
Yeah.
Easy, but not easy, is what I wrote.
Yeah.
It's it was
Easy for
it's
you
a
to say.
yeah, it was easy for Dax to fly through there, but definitely a challenging short battle. And Kira's very happy to see Odo safe in the scene, which I thought was very sweet. And then they lay in a course to go back home. And Sisko says, "Engage," and off they go. They survived. Back in the commander's office, Todman is telling Sisko that he's not going to press charges with anyone. So, yes, he says it sounded a lot like Wolf 359. And Sisko says he thought the same thing. Says if
I
you
do. I do.
pull a stunt
Sorry.
like that,
Yeah.
you will court martial. I will court martial you, or I will promote you.
Yes.
Either way, you're going to be in trouble.
That was my favorite line of that scene. That's very funny.
Yes.
The way he started it, he says, "But if you pull a stunt like that again, I'll court martial you, or I'll promote you." Like it was just like, oh, okay, got it.
Either way, you're gonna be in trouble. If I
Yeah.
promote
Yeah.
you'll be in trouble.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
And
when
when
he's
he's
the transmission ends and we end on Sisko with a little smile.
Yes, that's what
A
I was gonna say.
little,
That smile on his face was,
loved it.
yes.
Loved it.
Yeah.
That's when he
Garrick's,
started growing his goatee.
that's right. The
That's
smile began the beginning of the
Yeah, go
goatee.
ahead, court martial me.
We go into
Oh,
our
this
last
is a
scene
great
is in
scene too. This is
such a
such
great
a
scene.
shot so
Oh my
amazing. I loved
God.
it.
Yeah, so we're in
Freaking
Garrick's shop.
amazing.
Garrick's shop is a mess from the explosion. He goes over and starts wiping all this soot off a mirror.
Yeah.
And he sees Odo in the reflection, and
Oh
then Garak
gosh.
turns, and the camera stays on Garak's face with the reflection out of focus in the mirror, and that is the whole scene. It's
Is
shot.
he t okay, Robbie? Is he turn when he
Genius.
turns? Is he looking directly at Odo, or is he turned in
Well,
profile, kind of talking to him? Because that's what I was
I
wondering
think he's
about the
looking.
orientation.
He's
I bet he's
supposed to be
looking at
looking
him
at him,
directly,
but
but
the
through the
mirror.
mirror,
Yeah,
right?
the
Oh.
mirror cheat. The mirror cheat is a little disorienting. I would
Yeah.
agree with you. It looks
Okay.
like the mirror is looking one way and Garrick's looking a slightly different way.
Correct. As if he's giving side face to Odo the entire time. That's what I
But I don't
thought.
think that was the
That's
intention.
not the intent. Okay.
I think they wanted it to appear like he's looking him directly in the eye.
Okay. All right.
But bold choice, David
Very
Levinson.
much.
I wrote down, I wonder what Rick Berman said about this movie. If someone shot a scene like that on Resident Alien, I would not be happy, because you want to have coverage so that you can, there's a lot of reasons you might want coverage for time and things like that. But I know David's MO was always to get in trouble a little bit. And I bet he got in trouble with this scene, even
I
though
think
it's
it was worth
very
it.
cool. I think it's
I think
very
it's super
cool.
cool. I'm so happy you did it in a oneer because then nobody could mess with it.
Yeah.
You know,
But I
because
did
it's
miss.
artistic, it's creative.
Did you feel like you wanted to see Odo's face though? Because we never got to see Renee's face. He
It
got in
didn't
all that
bother
makeup.
me. It doesn't
Really?
matter. Yeah, I don't think it was
Mm-mm.
a problem. I think it was better this way, to be
Yeah,
honest. It
the
was.
message, it's the separation too of who they really are. You know, they still, now they have back at home, they're in their respective personalities that they have on Deep Space Nine.
Yeah.
And even when Garak, you know, it's like when Odo thanks him for leaving out his personal information,
Yeah.
and Garak said, yeah, I thought that would be better. To, you know, that it never happened. We treat it like it never happened. It's just such a great, it weirdly to me, even though they were far apart, it was very intimate. And
Yeah,
I
it was
think being two
very
men
intimate.
and it being that intimate, they didn't need to be close or close-ups for all of that. We've seen them through the whole episode,
Yeah. It was very
right?
bold. I thought it was
Yeah.
very creative and artistic and inventive, but as a producer, I would not be happy, and I'm sure Rick wasn't happy because it takes any options off the table. You don't have any
Right.
options. What if the studio says, what if the network or whoever, is paying for the show says, we want to see Odo's close-up. You don't
Well,
have
then
it.
you're going to have to do a reshoot,
You
and we
would
have
have to
the
do that.
set, and we have the
Yeah.
actors. We already
Yeah.
have them.
Yeah.
Not the end of the
Yeah,
world.
that's true. That's true.
I
That's
mean, if
true.
it were a guest star that we hardly ever see, it'd be one thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't
Like
know. I just.
we know what Odo's face looks like, right? So we don't have to have it in
Yeah.
this shot,
It was
but
very
the
cool. Yeah. Very
storytelling. It's the
cool.
storytelling that he's
Yeah.
doing that I really appreciate about this.
So we've already talked about how impressed we were with the writing, and now Ronald D. Moore gives us an excellent ending. The final three lines to this: Odo says to Garak, "Garak, I was thinking that you and I should have breakfast together sometime." Garak says, "Why, Constable? I thought you didn't eat." And Odo answers, "I don't." And that's the end of the whole. I mean, it's goosebumps. It's like, look at that. It's like he wants to be friends
Loved
with
it.
him. He wants to
Loved
hang out
it.
with him. And
Yeah.
again, he didn't say like, "Hey, we went through a bunch. Now I feel like I have better friendship with, I know you better." It's literally just, I would like to have breakfast. You don't eat. I don't. And that's it. It's so well, it's so well written. So good
Yes.
job,
Very good.
Ronald D. Moore.
Excellent job, everyone.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance, like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Families agents. Life's better when you're under American Families roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company S.I. and its operating company 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
All right, it's time for our theme slash moral of this episode, starting with Robbie McNeil. What's your response for that, my friend?
My theme slash moral slash lesson slash something to think about is don't let your past distract you from what's right in front of you now.
That's good.
Because both Odo and Garak were kind of yearning for something they felt they lost or missed, and they've got good friends right in front of them. They got a great life, you know. Sure, I get the yearning for home. I get all of that. But just when you let that drive you, like Garak did, to, partner up with Tane again and go to the dark side, and he's got a good life right in front of him.
Yeah, and that's
Terry?
living in the past, isn't it?
It is. Terry?
For me, watching Garak and Odo and their relationship, friendships are complicated. Loyalty can be complicated. And I think you need to give relationship space to maintain your integrity when you're faced, like Garak is, with a task that he has to do his job, but he also doesn't want to hurt his friend. And he's trying to be have integrity with and hold both of those things. And he does it really well. I think he did it really well. And I think he did. That was a really good example of somebody who can handle that kind of complication in a friendship. And to me, that was a really important theme about the friendship.
Great. I love that. Garrett.
You know, mine is more about, I think the best lesson is to be learned from the changelings. No changeling will ever harm another changeling. And I wish we could say the same thing about the human race. If we could all believe in no human would ever harm another human, our world would be an amazing place to live in right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Right
now. Yeah. So that is my theme and moral is let us as humans espouse the same belief system that the changelings subscribe to. That's all.
And that's a mic drop. There you go.
There you go. Yeah.
Boom.
It really is. It really is.
Boom. Yeah.
Boom.
Beautiful. Garrett, that was beautiful.
Thank you.
Agreed.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that.
The Patreon poll winner for theme moral of this episode is submitted by Andrew Cano. Never underestimate your opponent. That's true too.
That's smart.
True.
Good advice. Good advice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to our recap and discussion of part two, which was called not part one's name, but The Die is Cast with the wonderful Terry Farrell joining us. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, Terry.
Yes. Please join us next week when we will be recapping and discussing the episode Explorers, and that will be with Armin and also special guest host, Chase Masterson. Yes.
Aww.
It is the introduction of
her character.
She's
one of my favorite people. Yes. She's gorgeous in it. Just gorgeous. Really good actress.
Well, we cannot wait to watch it. So Robbie and I will be really excited to see that episode. And yes, so that will be next week.
She will not disappoint.
Yes. for all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material and a little bit more Terfare. Everyone else, see you later.